Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
To Bud Light Football Friday, presented by Blake Street Tavern. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac is presented by Ted's Montana Grill.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, guys, the game status. We've got four guys out. We've got Brandon Marshall with a knee. Darian Stewart's out with a neck. Deshaun Hamilton is out with a knee. And Roby is out with an ankle. We have one guy questionable and Royce Freeman.
Corresponding moves, most likely Alexander Johnson will probably get his first time to play in the NFL. Adam Pacman Jones will play cornerback. He had zero defensive snaps last week. Isaiah McKenzie was cut because they need another receiver. And that means River Craycraft gets called up. And Sua Cravens is healthy. He will play, and unfortunately, Sunshine Jordan Taylor not healthy, and most likely he goes on IR for the year starting on Monday. Before we get to Hugh Jackson, what do you think, Al, about the status of the Broncos and the injuries and the fill-ins? Shane Ray playing, by the way. Shane Ray healthy enough to play in this game.
You know, that's one of my favorite guys. I wish that they had found a way to play Shane in the base defense, to put all of their best players on the field at once. It would be nice to see Shane Ray, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and whoever opposite him in the linebacker core.
What do you think of the other issues about who's missing and who's filling in?
But that's not going to happen. He's going to be a reserve to the outside guys. But Bradley Roby being out, that's a big one. That's a big one because he's been basically a number two corner all year. He hasn't been great, but he's played good in spots. But to not have his services at all, it's going to be interesting to see how they use the different rotations of cornerbacks this week going against a team that just got a lot better at the wide receiver position.
They go three wide quite often, by the way, with Houston. And we'll see. Terrible offensive line, or specifically terrible tackle, left tackle. Von Miller could have a huge day.
Von Miller doesn't rush from the right. That'll be Chubb.
Okay.
But I know what you mean. I wish that he could. He's just not.
You can if you want to.
He can, but he's not.
We'll see what they do.
Yeah, leave Von alone. He's going to get his numbers.
Okay. Could be a big day for the pass rush. Could be a big day for the pass rush for the Texans. Jarrod Valdir is back. Von Vance Joseph was asked about Garrett Bowles. Will we see Garrett Bowles taking some time on the bench and have Billy Turner play a little left tackle?
I would love to see that. Now, that makes me a lot more confident in our offensive line.
That has been implied. No reason, if Garrett Bowles is struggling, to leave him in now. You've got somebody who can go out there and play.
Yeah, I mean, the Garrett Bowles experiment has been vetted. We understand what it is. We don't like it. So, whatever going forward.
Hugh Jackson was on ESPN, and
he's a joker.
Here's what
he is a joker.
To paraphrase what he said,
he's a joker amongst jokers.
He basically said, I wanted to draft Carson Wentz. I wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes. They wouldn't let me do it. Had they just let me do what I wanted to do, we'd be okay. That's the story. Now,
and we laughed at the Browns for doing what they did.
Now, that is absolutely exactly what we advocated for the Broncos in the future. So when I saw the story about Hugh Jackson, I was like, well, he's got a point. I mean, he is literally saying what we're advocating for.
I've never heard a head coach actually come out and just bomb on management before. Before this, Hugh Jackson.
Yeah,
it feels like Hugh just doesn't want to coach in the NFL
How do we be critical of this guy when he literally comes out and says exactly what you need the coach to do?
Well, it's easy to say when those guys are doing well. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, that's what he wants to do.
But we have said on the air, how can you blame Vance Joseph if Vance Joseph didn't get to choose the quarterback? And whatever quarterback John Elway decides on, you've got to give the head coach the the authority to pick out who that guy is. Because how else are you supposed to work with him? Not only did Hugh Jackson not get pick his quarterbacks, but he didn't get to pick his offensive coordinator.
And oh, that was told today.
He was stuck with a dude that they didn't get along at all with.
So John Dorsey wanted to hire a new coach after he became the head coach. And GM. Haslam, after he became the GM, and Haslam, the owner, Jimmy Haslam is the owner of the Cleveland Browns, said no, he liked Hugh. And basically John Dorsey went to Hugh Jackson and said, okay, Hugh, if you want to stay employed, I'm going to give you a new offensive coordinator, and we already have a good defensive coordinator. Away we go. So this is what happens. Hugh Jackson, being the play caller, remember I told you, if you're an offensive coordinator, one of the hardest things to do is give up play calling responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why in the world would you do that as a head coach?
Gotcha.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, you can see things being turned over a little bit more. But on the offensive side, when you know that is your mojo, and that's what he's been doing. He's been offensive coordinating, you know, for a long time in this league. He had to give up those responsibilities. So what did he do? He went behind the back of the GM, went to the owner, and told the owner, let me call the plays again. I'm better than this guy. And that's why he got fired. That's why he got fired, because he went behind John Dorsey's back and went right to the owner and said, let me call the plays. I'm better at it.
I'm fine. I get you. That backstabbing, that doesn't really work. And it's a mess. But doesn't he have a good point? Wasn't he espousing exactly what we were talking about yesterday?
You mean as far as the
quarterback's going to be in sync with the coach?
Yes, yes, yes.
So he can't be too critical of him, at least on that standard, because that's the same
remember
standard.
Remember, I told you that the play caller has to pick his quarterback.
Well, that means every head coach should be an offensive guy.
But no. I just said the play caller should get to pick his quarterback. Especially if you're on a bad team.
And Hugh Jackson, then what are you saying about Vance Joseph then? Because he's not a play caller.
So he didn't get to pick his team.
He doesn't get to pick a quarterback?
He doesn't get to pick his quarterback.
Well, then why is he the head coach?
Well, the head coach is, the GM is responsible for finding the head coach. Okay?
Yeah, but don't you understand what
the
I'm saying
GM
here?
The GM is like, also responsible for finding the quarterback for the head coach. But the play caller.
We're contradicting ourselves right now.
No, I'm not. Because
we are.
But D-Mac, listen to what I'm saying here. Okay? So the GM is responsible for finding the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The head coach tells the GM, this is the kind of quarterback that I need to run my system, if he's an offensive coach.
What if he's not?
If he's not, then that's the offensive play caller. This is the guy I need to run my offense.
So the head coach, if he's defensive-minded, doesn't get a say in who his quarterback is?
He gets a say, but...
That sounds insane.
D-Mac, listen to what I'm saying now, okay? He gets a say. He gets a say, but really... You hired a guy to call plays, right? If you don't have your quarterback, like what we had here in Denver, we didn't have a quarterback of record.
All right, we got to take a break.
We can talk about this because
we can get back into
this
it.
Cleveland Browns deal sounds just a lot like us. It sadly
could be a lot like they've been if we don't do the right things.
When we come back, why don't we just explain it?
Troy Rank will join us when we come back with the latest from Dove Valley.
And then we'll explain why we could be the Browns.
Oh, boy. I bet a lot of people want to hear that. That's coming up. Hey, hang on. That's coming up on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Troy Rank, bye-bye. I can imagine Troy dressed up in his Kiss gear. The big boots. Just crushing Longmont on a Friday night. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Troy, you're a great writer.
Troy Rank
looked good in like a dog collar and leathers. Sure. Why do I keep going there with you, Troy? I don't know. But hi, Troy. How are you?
One of my favorite all-time sports memories was talking politics with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley in full makeup before Super Bowl 30. They were at a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Simmons had his dragon boots on. He was probably, I think, 6'8".
Nice.
It was fantastic. But I Kiss now, not so much. That was Detroit Rock City, wasn't it?
That's what it was. That's right.
Yeah.
Troy.
Well, I Love Gun the best. That's the best song.
Troy. Okay. Now, see, you bring up an argument when I'm trying to get the football, and then we could go all day about the best Kiss song. The best Kiss song is Beth, but nobody wants to say that because it's Peter Criss singing it, and it really was a little bit out of left field, right? But no, forget it. Troy, the injuries and the replacements today, what are the significance of who's missing and who's replacing them? Troy, are you still with me, or are you thinking about Beth by Peter
Criss?
Yeah,
I'm still here. I'm still here, man. You can
maybe
hear me?
I'm thinking about 100,000 years.
Yeah, what I said is the guys that are out and those replacing them, the significance.
Yeah, you got three starters out, D-Mac. You got me?
Yeah, gotcha, we got you. Gotcha.
Okay, so you got Darian Stewart out, Bradley Roby out, Brandon Marshall. I would say the most significant is a corner just because, and Roby hasn't played well, I get it, but the reality is they're thin at cornerback. Tremaine Brock's going to start. I talked to him today. He said he feels as good as he has in a couple years. He's anxious for extended opportunity. Behind him, Adam Jones will play. Now, Jones missed practice today to attend his uncle's funeral, but he will be back, and then Isaac Yadam. But they're thin in the secondary. Josie Jewell will start for Brandon Marshall. And then they have Sue Cravens coming in at safety. He and Will Parks will help cover the absence of Stewart. Cravens is an X factor in this game because he's a unique player. He's physical. He can create turnovers, but we just don't know. We haven't really seen him play in 2 years, so not sure what we can expect from him. But Tremaine Brock's got to be good. And if it's me and it's my defense, I have Chris Harris follow DeAndre Hopkins around the field. I know they don't do that, Al, but I would because if you can take or limit Hopkins, I think you can win.
You know what's fantastic about this league is the excitement that a young, great player brings to the table. Cortland Sutton is that guy for us. Deshaun Watson is that guy for the Houston Texans. Cortland Sutton feels like he may have as big an impact on this team as Bradley Chubb. Am I wrong in my evaluation?
No, not from a talent perspective. Usually when people talk about rookies making an impact, I kind of roll my eyes because they all talk a big game, and then you look up at the end of the year, a rookie receiver has 18 catches, 180 yards, and they were non-factor. Cortland Sutton has been doing this since the first day of training camp. He has been compared favorably to DeAndre Hopkins as a rookie. So the issue is, Alfred, for him to make a huge impact the final eight games, can he run the rest of the route tree? You know he can run a nine route, and you know he can run a fade and go 50-50 balls for him or more 70-30. But I love his talent, and let's be honest, beyond the salary, the reason they moved Demaryius Thomas is they feel like Sutton's better than him at this point. Is he better this week? I don't know, because I don't know if he can run the whole route tree. But from a talent's perspective, I agree with you, Al. And Chubb is, we've got a chance for the rookie sack record. So between those two guys, that's at least some encouraging hope for the future.
The story of Demaryius Thomas, where do you think this sits on Sunday with the fans?
It's interesting because when you live in Twitter and social media, the echo chamber is he hasn't performed and he has too many drops and he's overrated. But when you step back and talk to longtime fans and people who have been around forever, they appreciate Demaryius Thomas and understand why he's going to be a Ring of Famer. From 2012 to 2016, he was just an absolute stats monster. And he helped them win a Super Bowl. And he has been a great Bronco. He's second all-time in touchdowns and receiving yards. So you can't – there's nothing you could do to change his resume. It's great. But he's been declining for the five straight years in yards per catch. He doesn't like the physical part of the game anymore. I don't blame him. He's in his 30s. But he's not a yards after contact guy anymore. But I think he'll be warmly received. The plan is, D-Mac, that banner that hangs outside the stadium on the south end, That will have a thank you on it, on that banner, as fans enter the stadium. They will honor him before the kickoff with a type of something on the video screen, obviously on the Jumbotron. And they should. And they should. So good for Demaryius. But I've been told by people close to Demaryius, he really wants to win this game. He's motivated. He's trying to egg the coaches in Houston to give him more plays rather than maybe 15. He wants to play more. So we'll see. He's clearly motivated to come back and try to beat Denver.
Did he feel? Did it seem like he was motivated while he was here in Denver?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I'm going to call it like I see it, Al. You do that a lot. He's now paired in an offense that's better than the one he left in Denver. That's the reality of it. He's paired with a young quarterback who's a burgeoning star. And you know, Demaryius is never going to come out and be critical of player. That's not him. But I don't think he's upset that he's playing with Watson. I'll put it that way. He played hurt. He played every week. I'll never have a complaint about Demaryius Thomas. His production declined as his physical makeup changed, where he went from being 227-pound physical guy to 214, 215, who didn't like to get hit all the time, which I don't blame him, but he wasn't the same receiver these last few years that he was his first 5 years.
Troy, what's your prediction?
You know, I thought they were going to win. I'm now uneasy because of the three starters out, but I'm going to stay with my prediction that they find a way to win 27-24, because it's a last stand game for them. If they lose this game, go to 3-6 in the bye week, at that point, they're not going to the playoffs. They're coaching. I mean, everything about the coach is up in the air. So it's kind of a last stand game for them at home. So I think, against logic, I'm going to predict them to win because they're at home 27-24.
Good job, Troy Rank. We'll see you on Denver 7. In terms of the Kings Supers fan football pick'em, Mark Schlereth had to humiliate himself and play the shame game. We'll hear that. Plus, a look around the league for games that matter to the Broncos. That's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Alfred, just maybe review last night. What'd you think about? I think we do have some highlights. Hold on a second. How about them Raiders?
Mullins under center. Play action to Mostert. Rolling left. Throws it out of the flat. He's got Kittle. Touchdown, 49ers. And that drive is all stone cold Kittle.
What'd you think?
Well, when you hear things like, you know, we're building a championship around here, and you hear Derek Carr saying things like, I'm not leaving, I'm in for the long haul, then you know that he's leaving, he's not in for the long haul, and the Raiders are not trying to win. Look out, NFL. If you need an easy win, just better hope that the Raiders are on your schedule.
Do they just tank out the rest of the year?
I think
1-15.
As long as the Giants continue to have, the same amount of losses and wins, then the Raiders are not going to improve over them. They want the first pick.
This is what John Gruden said.
I see players after every game we play that
don't
want to be Raiders. That's been the case. My whole life. I think the brand of the Raiders is an exciting one, and I think a lot of players, no doubt, do want to play for us in the future, and I'm not going to speculate any further than that. I'm not going to get into who calls me and who texts me. I've made a lot of friends in this business over the years.
Superficial.
Easier to stay in the booth, isn't it? Let's talk
But he's been given a 10-year contract, so he has the ability to do what he wants to do and tank a season or two to get the kind of players that he wants so that he can rebuild. Every coach would love to have that situation. Unfortunately, that's not how it works in the NFL.
Chargers and look at the Seahawks. All right. They are having a better season than I thought they would actually have. They're sitting there at 4-3. Chargers, Seahawks.
Motion man Taylor makes the fly sweep. Ball batted up in the air, intercepted. Chargers come up with a big play inside the 10. Now on his horses, Denzel Perryman past the 20. There's the turnover. The Gus Bradley bunch was waiting for, and it's into the hands of Perryman.
First and goal from the 7. Hands the ball to Carson. He fights his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks. I think Chris Carson hit almost every defender on his way to the goal line and still pushed it in.
I'd like to see the Seahawks. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. But what do you think?
Well, I think that the Seahawks have become a lot better than we would give them credit for after we played them in the opener. Right now, their defense is ranked third in the entire NFL. The rushing offense is ninth in the NFL. The passing offense isn't where it should be at 28th. But, you know, I'm looking at this as being a good game. I thought I was going to give the win to the Chargers because they've been playing so well. But considering the last time that these guys met, no, I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks over the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers. One more year and I'll get that right every time. I'm taking the Seahawks over the Los Angeles Chargers, even though Phillip Rivers has been outstanding and is making his 200th straight start. I'm taking the Seahawks.
The Chargers are having a kind of a quietly strong year at 5-2. Yeah.
5-2.
All right. Mahomes against Mayfield.
Two wide right, one wide left is Kelce flexed out there. Mahomes fires over the middle. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City on cue. Travis Kelce continues to assault the Broncos, and the Chiefs have their first lead.
The Browns are going to have the ball at the one. Shotgun for Mayfield. Mayfield back to pass. Looks, lobs, end zone. Callaway caught it. Touchdown as he had a stealer all over him. Cody Sensabaugh wrapped him up, but Callaway caught it with one arm.
Al, who do you like?
This is the easiest game to call. I guess if you're in your suicide pool, then you would absolutely pick this game and the Kansas City Chiefs to do what the Chiefs do. But you never know when you get a new quarterback like the San Francisco 49ers did last night, or a new coordinator like the Cleveland Browns will get this week, what the real outcome is going to be. But I think that the offense over there with the Kansas City Chiefs, it's just too strong, D-Mac. It's just one of the best offenses that we've ever seen in the NFL right now. They're second, and they just have too much offense.
So
I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs all the way.
All right. And we'll go to our Broncos pick. It's brought to you by King Soopers, the official grocery store of the Denver Broncos. You can register for King Soopers Fan Football Pick'em at 1043thefan.com. With a $250 King Soopers gift card each week and a chance to shame the fan host, we will hear from Sting in a second, Big Sexy. But first, the Texans and Broncos.
Second and 8 at the Jacksonville 10. Watson in the gun with Miller to his left. Hopkins short side right. Deshaun gets the snap, throws right side. He has Nuke. Touchdown, Houston. DeAndre Hopkins with a TD reception off the arm of Deshaun Watson.
From the 36-yard line, play action. Case Keenum looking deep. Wants it all. Emmanuel Sanders wide open at the 20. He's got it at the 10 to the 5. He'll flip into the end zone for the touchdown. Head over heels. Emmanuel Sanders with a flip and a dance afterwards, celebrating a 64-yard score, making it 27-3. Broncos early in the second.
What's it going to be, Alfred?
You know, I love this matchup because we are the Houston Texans. Our offensive line is theirs. Our defensive line and pass rushes are theirs. Our secondary is theirs. Our wide receivers, quite frankly, are theirs. So the only difference in this game will be the quarterback play. And because of that, Deshaun Watson, I believe, is a better quarterback than Case Keenum. I'm picking the Houston Texans in this one, unfortunately. I'm saying 27-17.
I got to think about that for a second. 27-17. So you're just saying our pass rush doesn't really get to Deshaun. I mean, how are you getting to the 27 points?
I just think that because of the turnovers that we've been prone to, that they get one and convert it.
So Keenum turns it over in the red zone or something?
I don't know where they turn it over, if it's going to be
easy
him.
Easy drive.
But yeah, an easy touchdown. The Texans are playing fast right now, D-Mac. It's something that is showing up on film. They know where they're supposed to go. They know how to get there.
17 and for the Broncos, huh?
I think 17.
Why are we not very effective against their offense?
Because Stink has been talking about it all week. I think what they do is that they say J.J. Watt. They put Whitney Merciless outside and Jadeveon Clowney outside and basically overload one side to make you turn there. And then they say, okay, Connor McGovern, you're one-on-one with J.J. Watt. Max Garcia, you're one-on-one with J.J. Watt.
And we're going to lose that.
We're going to lose almost every time.
I have
he
the Broncos.
He is simply playing at a level right now that we've seen him play at in the past. It's just that we now have to see him firsthand.
I have the Broncos winning 24-23, but only because they're playing at home. If they were playing in Houston, I'd be picking the Texans. Very similar teams. They do have a better quarterback. I guess I'm just being optimistic and a bit of a homer, because if you go 3-6, I mean, that's a wrap. You got a bye week, and then who knows what happens. I'm not advocating for big change, but it wouldn't surprise me if that does happen. With all that being said, the loser of the week was Mark Schlereth, who had to play the shame game. Let's hear it.
Offensive line play is boring. Receivers win football games.
Shame. Shame.
Are we going to be okay for the fire up, though? Even though you're picking the Broncos to lose, can we still rally?
Oh, I'm excited to see you. I'm so excited to see Courtland Sutton in an extended role. I am so excited to see our young runners and, you know, Phillip Lindsay, man, he could end up having one of those magical years where he goes over 1,200 yards as a rookie if he remains a starter.
All right, well, let's stay on the positive tip. The keys to victory on this Friday afternoon next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
All right, the fire up is coming at 5 o'clock.
And the base keeps running, running, and running, running, and running.
I'll stay positive for sure. I think the Broncos are actually going to win this game. But I think it's going to be close, that's for sure.
In this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme.
A lot of injuries, though.
We got 5 minutes.
Injury report from today.
All right, guys, the game status. We've got 4 guys out. We've got Brandon Marshall with a knee. Darian Stewart's out with a neck. Deshaun Hamilton is out with a knee, and Roby is out with an ankle. We have one guy questionable, and it's Royce Freeman. He's fine. He's back in the lineup at right tackle. So he had a great week, and he's healthy and ready to go.
That's Jared Beldier. Here's his thoughts about Garrett Bowles.
For Bowles, just playing with technique. You know, I mean, he's obviously a young player still, so to focus on technique, obviously blocking these speed rushers, I mean, you can't be off with your technique, and just compete, you know? Compete your butt off and play with great technique and win your one-on-one battles.
Okay.
It's weird, you know, when guys get beat outside, because nobody gets beat outside frequently in the NFL at offensive tackle. Guys, you know, that little move that was given up last week from our offensive line. Why am I drawing a blank? Billy Turner. Billy Turner got beat on the inside move. The guard popped out to block a rusher. Those are the kind of moves that you get beat on in the NFL at tackle. But to see guys dip and rip around the corner the way that Von Miller does it, it just doesn't really happen. You know, you just don't see it like that. And Bowles gets to be like that all the time.
How patient are you going to be with leaving Bowles in the game then?
Not very.
Is it a situation if he comes out, he just goes back in, he just watches a couple series, or do you think it's a situation where, hey, if you're not pulling your weight here, let's let Billy play the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, because like Jadeveon Clowney is a solid pass rusher. He's a really solid pass rusher, but he's not Von Miller. He's not in that category. He's a handsy guy. He has this great inside outside move within close proximity of the tackle, where he freezes the tackle and he goes inside. That move could give Bowles an issue. But as far as just taking off outside and beating you on the corner, he doesn't have that. At least he hasn't shown it in games this year. He's a great athlete, but he is not a dominant outside pass rusher like Dee Ford, you know, like Von Miller, like Justin Houston, guys in that category. So you have your chance. When you put your hands on him, you have to be strong because he's a power rusher.
All right, keys then. You know, it's an interesting matchup. When we look at the Texans and the Broncos, we see two teams that are really similar. A lot of things in common.
Well, everything that they do in Houston, you know, like when you look at our matchup on paper it looks like we should have a really good team. But a lot of our numbers that happened for the Denver Broncos happen in moments that really don't count. You know, so when you consider the Texans' offense versus our offense, I'm going to give you the numbers. It's going to sound like, hey, we have played at the exact same level as them. Their offense is ranked number 10 in the NFL. Our offense is ranked number 8.
In terms of what?
Yards.
Oh, okay. Not scoring, though. Yards.
Yards.
Okay. Look at points, and it's kind of a different story.
Well, I'm just saying, but if I said that we have the 8th ranked offense.
For yards, is that how you're defining an offense?
I just want scoring points. I mean, really, if you want me.
Wait, are you sure about that? Because we're 13th and they're 15th in yards per game.
I have a different number looking right at it here. NFL.com has.
I'm looking at the press release from the Broncos this week.
Okay. Well, we have different numbers.
Okay.
I don't know how those numbers get that different.
Points per game, we are 20th.
Is that from the Broncos?
This is from the Broncos.
Okay. I'll use their numbers.
Okay.
Points per game, we're 20th, and they are?
14th. But not a big difference. Like, we're 20th at 23.5 a game. They're 14th at 24.6. So they average 1.1 points more than us, and they jump ahead 6 spots. That is even, Steven.
They look like us.
Rushing yards per game, we are 10 yards apart. We got a .133. They got a .123. Passing yards per game, we're 20th, they're 18th. There is a 9-yard difference in their favor. Intercepted, they lead there. They've only had 7 picks. We've got 10. It kind of just goes like this.
What did you say the yardage was for the Houston Texans?
For what?
The total yards per game.
379.
Which means they are what in the NFL?
15th. We're 380
at 13th. That's 10th. I'm looking right here. I'm now on a different website. I'm seeing the Denver Broncos.
How about we say this? They're very equal.
They look like the same team.
Yeah.
They look like the same team. The passing numbers, the rushing numbers, they're very impressive. The Denver Broncos, as far as rushing yards goes, we have over 1,000 yards rushing already this season. Listen to what I just said. We got 1,000 yards rushing already this season as a team.
If Deshaun Watson was the quarterback right now of the Denver Broncos, what would our record be?
I think if Deshaun Watson was our quarterback, we probably would be 6-2.
At least 5-3, right?
I think at least 6-2.
At least 6-2.
At least 6-2.
Case Keenum's that bad.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I think we'd probably be 5-3.
I think that we would be at least 6-2.
Okay.
Because I think
Deshaun Watson had a rough beginning. He wasn't great or playing great until the past couple of games. So he was going to have a rough start no matter what. They started 0-3, Al.
Here's what I'm telling
with
you.
With Deshaun Watson.
Here's what I'm telling you. With Deshaun Watson on this team, you can't say that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to sweep us.
No, Deshaun Watson probably hits Demaryius Thomas.
Okay.
And we win the game.
They're probably not going to sweep us. So, say we split with them, okay?
Yeah.
We already beat the Seattle Seahawks. We beat the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm. That's 3.
We beat the Jets, right?
No, we lost the Jets because of our run defense. We would lose to the Jets no matter what because of how poorly we played defensively. Had nothing to do with the quarterback.
Hold on, man. See, you're not paying attention to how games work. The purpose of the offense is to score one more point than them.
Yeah, we lose to the Jets. We weren't ready.
Listen, dude, that's not the way it works. You just can't throw losses in there because, you know, we had a bad day on run defense.
But if we
have a quarterback that is a big-time answerer of the other team's offensive performance, then we have the right guy. You can't have a team. You know, I was listening to Sandy last week. After we played the Kansas City Chiefs in the post game, and he said, you know, the game wasn't close between the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that you know, everything on the scoreboard said that, you know, it was a close game. He said, well, you know, look at the Kansas City Chiefs run off. I think it was like 27 points in a row. mm-hmm. and we didn't have an answer until late. You can't do that if you're a good quarterback. You don't let teams.
I'll give it to you. We beat the Jets. And
you don't, you don't.
I disagree,
understand.
But I'll just move
but
forward.
I'm just saying,
with
but you don't understand what I'm saying here.
I understand what you're saying. What,
you
who else do we? Who else do we win with Deshaun Watson? Who else do we beat?
I think that we beat. So right now we are. I'm saying that the Rams look like the best team in football, and I'm saying that we
lose to the Chiefs on the road.
We lose to the Chiefs, and maybe the Jets. I mean, excuse me, maybe the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, we probably lose that game too. We're probably 5-3 with Deshaun Watson. We're
I said 6-2. Rams. So I would say that we would beat. Maybe we beat the Baltimore Ravens. They're not as good as I thought they were. They're sitting at 4-3 or 4-4, something like that. They're not as good as I thought they were.
Winning games on the road is pretty tough. Winning in Baltimore is pretty tough. Flying in at 5 o'clock the day before to New York and winning the next morning is pretty rough.
I'll give you 5-3. Even if we're 5-3, we lose to the Baltimore Ravens, we lose to the Rams, and we split with the Kansas City Chiefs.
So we'd be 5-3. We'd be winning this game. We'd be 6-3 going into the bye with Deshaun Watson. We are looking at the playoffs. And that's the difference between good quarterback and a mediocre quarterback.
I think our quarterback is about 70% of their quarterback. I think that when you look at, like, how good is Deshaun Watson, he's 30% better than Case Keenum. And I think that when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he may be 40% better than Deshaun Watson in that offense over there in Kansas City. It's just that it's hard. You know, I heard Vance say something also last week. Against the Kansas City Chiefs with the Denver Broncos, we have to play a perfect game. Think about that. Everything has to be right to beat the Kansas City Chiefs with this team that we have. Now, that means that, you know, on a average day, we can't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That means that we don't have the talent. But
he's right.
He's right. We have to play the perfect game against the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't have to play a perfect game against the Houston Texans.
So if Vance Joseph is the coach and he's got Deshaun Watson, he's at least 5-3 right now, right?
I think with the way that they do offense here with Bill Musgrave, then I think we have even a better offense. And when I say a better offense, I mean a better scoring offense.
So we have a 10-6 team with the right quarterback, and everything else is the same.
10-6 with the right quarterback, maybe 11-5.
Maybe 11-5. Playoff team.
Oh, no doubt.
So this isn't on the coaches then.
Oh well, I didn't put this on the coaches. No, I put that loss against the Jets on the coaches. I put the loss against the Jets on the coaches. All the other ones, no. No. We got beat by Kansas City twice, okay? We got beat by the Rams. The Jets game, I told you that one was, you know, we got outcoached in that game. We got outcoached in that game. And then the Baltimore Ravens, you know, it's a coin flip game. You're playing it on the road, 11 o'clock game. You know, I don't know. I think that's on the players. That's on the players. So I think that the coaches actually lost one game.
So ultimately, the keys to winning today or Sunday?
More talent gives you a better chance to win. That's the way it works in every sport.
So we're going to have to do something special on Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to have to play a mistake-free game. We can't put the ball on the ground. A quarterback can't give it away twice. We gave it away on a fumble last week and an interception. So we can't give those away.
But we're hardly playing a team that's like the Rams or the Chiefs,
no,
right?
No, but D-Mac, when you have a chance to score in the red zone, you have to score touchdowns. And when you have a chance to make a play on third down, make the play. No first down interceptions. Those kill you, especially when you are in negative territory.
I think the Broncos could get it done. I think they can beat the Texans. I think the Texans are a good team. I don't think they're a great team. They've won 5 in a row, which is remarkable. I think it's
remarkable.
I think it's remarkable any time an NFL team wins 5 games in a row.
Well, you must think the Rams are just, you know,
yeah, I think they're great. They're on a whole level. Yes, I do think they're on a whole another level. Don't you?
Yeah, they are. But the Chiefs are as well.
Okay.
The Chiefs are as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But I don't think the Texans are on a whole nother level, and it could come crashing down easily on Sunday. I think there's a lot to play for. I think the weather's going to be great. I think there's a lot of drama with this Demaryius Thomas story. I'll be very curious what the attendance is from the fans, how you feeling about it. Because if you lose this game, then we're into some other, you know, sticky conversations with the bye week. But for now, why not win? And we'll get fired up for it next.